the annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, episode 15. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and next to me is...
Stevie P.
Osh. Yes, back by popular demand. And that was just the emails from his mum. Ladies and gentlemen, Stevie Payos. How are you, mate?
Did you get the quota up, Scotty? I asked for at least five.
Mate, well, last time you showed up in trackies, which we told you you had to, you're back in the suit again.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable, man.
I had them ready in the car to go, but time beat me to it, unfortunately, boys. But
yeah, nice.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be back.
You wear suits like we wear trackies. I had to go and get measured up for a suit for the upcoming wedding yesterday.
Yeah.
And just the whole process, I'm like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah,
I hate suits.
When they measure the inside of the leg, you feel your balls.
Slight tickle.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Like, I kind of like that too much. I'm really questioning myself now.
Now, boys, it's going to be a big show. Of course, UFC 202 happened. Benny, you'll give us all of that.
Yeah, got the fourth thing on that, mate. Oh, yeah, awesome fight in the main event. We had a tooth go missing. We had, there's a whole bunch of other shenanigans going on. Connor was, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, was talking down about the whole WWE. Brock finally got asked in person about that by this really douchey reporter.
Yeah.
So that went down well. Got CM Punk, he's fighting on the next show coming up.
Yeah, I saw you post something on social media about that during the week.
Yeah, we'll touch on that.
Yeah, that video that you put up. I mean, that was over a year ago, so hopefully he's, because his skills didn't look real crash-hot.
They weren't paying no bills, man.
No, they weren't.
I've got a 10-second preview on the next UFC coming up this weekend.
Okay,
with the best jiu-jitsu player in MMA.
That's what
it's called, man. It's a game.
Very nice. Stevie, how you been travelling, man? Last time we caught up was obviously at the big fight night.
Really well, thanks, Scotty. Yeah, good, mate. Very busy with all the different commitments and bits and pieces, but life's going well, mate. Everything's really good. Our football team won our major semi on the weekend as well, so into a preliminary final this weekend.
Who's that?
Queanbeyan City. Up against the Serbian White Eagles this week, another hotly contested derby with our crosstown role. So that'd be great, yeah. So just another thing to add to the list of things going on, but everything's all really well, mate.
Very nice.
As well. Just wanted to say a big thank you, Scotty, for your part in the fight night a week and a half ago, mate.
It was
a great night, and thanks to Benny as well, obviously, for main eventing, and it raised a lot of money for a great cause.
It did, 17 grand, as we said last week, and as you know, mate, it cuts pretty close to home for me.
I certainly know that's right.
What Dad's got, so great event. Now we've just got to find two people to headline next you. So I keep telling the boys. I keep telling the boys they need to move it after footy season. Then we're every chance of getting someone like Josh Papali.
Yeah.
Or someone when they're, because it's not going to happen in footy season.
Yeah, of course.
And to the Raiders boys, how good are they going?
Well, on that note, I've actually had to change the date of my next fight because they're tearing it up.
Oh, really?
So the fight's been pushed back till after the GF, just in case the boys in green.
Awesome. I see you got a little bit of extra time to get
Yeah, and I'm
some
not complaining either.
No.
An extra 3 weeks to get ready.
It's not a bad idea, though, Benny. I mean, the second week of the finals will be on that weekend, I think it is around the 17th. And obviously, I mean, you hope the Raiders can get top two, home semi, win that, make it straight to a prelim, which would mean a weekend off.
Yeah.
But like you said, if the boys are still going, though, they'll be part of
that. We never want to go with a normal game of footy during the year, let alone now when they're running green hot.
Oh, yeah.
Making the finals.
You've been working on that all week, haven't you?
That was off the cuff.
Green hot. Now, you've got that written down somewhere, I'm sure.
Well delivered.
All right. Donald Trump was blowing up Twitter the other day, and not for the reason you'd think. And I saw it, and I followed the thread, and it was hilarious. I'm going to have a look at that very, very shortly. Yeah, no, it was great. So I'll have a look at that.
There's been a few fake ones come up about some of the things he's.
This wasn't about stuff he said. This was people pretending to be him describing something else. So we'll get to that. Some great songs coming up. Listener question for you, Stevie. People heard on Facebook you were coming in, so we've got a listener question for you.
Looking forward to it.
We've got some great music coming up, and I thought we'd kick it off. I can't believe we're 15 episodes in and we have not played Tenacious D on this podcast.
I thought it was you when I first saw Jack Black, man. I thought it was you, man.
I'm a little taller.
Scotty's made it.
I'm a little
He's
taller.
He's got a stage name.
A little taller, a little rounder.
Does that mean we're going to play one of the best songs ever or what?
No, we're not playing tribute. Oh. No, we're going to play a song off their last album, which was called Rise of the Phoenix. And this song is a shout out to the hardest working men in showbiz, the Roadie. Because without the Roadie, there is no show.
Heaps. Yep.
This song is sensational.
But they get rewarded with jobs. I'd be working hard. I'd be working hard too, man.
Hey, what's a whisper?
It's funny you mention that because that's coming up in the lyrics to this. So Let's check this out. This is Tenacious D and Roadie as we kick off episode 15. I've never seen a white man look so bashful when he said BJs.
Well, it's 3 p.m., time to lug the gear. Got to get it on the stage. My muscles flex, my fucking sweat will save the day. When I check the mic, I fuck, I check the mic, I fuck, I check, I check, a 1, 2, 3. I plug it in, I make it sound as good as can be. Cause the rock is rock, but the road is road. Gotta take the mic, I guess I take control. Gotta get that shit up on that fucking stage. Because the roadie knows what the roadie knows, and the roadie knows that he wears black clothes and he hides off in the shadows off the stage. Because the roadie looks 1,000 miles with his eyes, and when the crowd roars, brings a teardrop to the roadie's eyes. Tears of pride, because it brought you the show, but you will never know. He's changing the strings while hiding in the wings. No matter how hard, the show must go on. Then a beautiful girl come to me, she say, hey, can I suck your dick? I say, yes, I am in love. Quickly say, I sucked your dick, and now give me that backstage pass. I do not want you, Roadie. I want Cage's chode. Oh! I'm standing at the threshold of your dreams. Without me, there'd be no sound from those amps. Without me, there'd be no lights on the stage. But you know a part for me. No! Some warrior searching for a soul. No, I am the roadie. I make the rock go.
Tenacious D. Was the song called Roadie?
It was called Roadie, Benny.
From the album Muse?
No.
That's the next song.
No, that Muse is coming up later in the show.
That's God the other band.
See, this
man.
Is what happens when you give a prize fighter a sheet with everything. You just all
I'm
the words.
It. I'm not
all,
looking.
All the
I
words
don't need
just,
it, man.
You, I think I you do. We do have some Muse coming up later in the show, yes.
That couldn't have gone smoother. And now.
No, that was fantastic.
We have our eye in the sky from the Nullarbor.
Yeah, we've sent him out west.
Bloody hell.
It's Larry here with another, well, kind of official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm in the Nullarbor this week, and why the boys sent me here, I'll never know. 200,000 square kilometres, and there's maybe about 3 cars. But, you know, whatever. I did see some kangaroos and a huge lizard, a couple of emus, 973 camels, and a burned-out H.R. Holden. If you decide you have nothing better to do with your life and you want to take a trip across this vast desert, then plan ahead. And watch for big fuck-off trucks with 15 trailers. Hey look, there's Mick Taylor. Let's go and see if he wants to have a latte. If I survive this trip, I'll be back next week. Pilot, take me down. Hey Mick! Mick, how are you, mate?
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and time to say thank you to our, well, one of our wonderful sponsors, the Butcher Shops, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny,
I loaded up there the other day, mate.
Oh, you going back?
Yeah, got my two big brown, well, it's pretty much two suitcases. So I'm loaded up. I don't know what I got, man. I'll just point and eat, man. I got these chicken things wrapped in bacon. There's stuff in it. Yeah. It tastes bloody awesome.
Stevie, you look like a shrink in your suit today. I'm going to put this out there. My dog Slash, you know, my little Staffy.
I do.
Had his balls off on Monday.
Yeah?
Yeah, so on Sunday night, I gave him half a kilo of King Island rump steak from the butcher shop for dinner.
Oh,
I was feeling that a little
a treat,
guilty.
Scotty.
He was looking at me going, what's going on here? Yeah. It's like, sorry, mate, tomorrow you're going to be put to sleep and wake up without your agates. So that's what they did. So if you're feeling guilty about your dog's vasectomy, go to the butcher shop, get some King Island beef, hey, and maybe get something for yourself while you're there.
You may as well, mate. And on that note, there must have been some good stuff in the beef because your dog's attitude hasn't changed a bit. He's still over the moon.
There must be
plenty of energy in the mince.
I think Brock Lesnar's been hanging over the fence giving my dog treats. I don't know what's going on there. He hasn't settled down at all. The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days. Dixon open Monday through Saturday. It is the best meat in Canberra, hands down. Go and get some.
One of these guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title.
The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie.
Squad goals.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, you've been talking a bit of Trump, mate. I missed this on Twitter. What's been going on?
Yeah, well, obviously Donald Trump has said a few things on Twitter that's got him in trouble.
He's said a few things every day for the last 18 months.
Well, that's got him in trouble. It's pretty true. But this wasn't Trump. This was people pretending to be Trump. Someone started the hashtag Trump Explains Movie Plots. Right, so they wrote all these tweets as if it was Donald Trump. Right,
is there going to be some racist?
No, not at all. I think these are fantastic. Now I can't do a Donald Trump accent, but I'll bung on an American one, and I'm going to do the tweet.
Is your American Aussie punter?
No, okay. It's not. It's not. So I'm going to give you the tweet. You're going to tell me which movie it is, okay? Because right. the boys haven't seen these. I'm even going to put another bit of paper there, so they can't read.
Let's
through,
go, Benny. Right? We got this.
Big shark. Biggest shark you ever saw. I saw it, folks. Huge. Police chief. Great guy. Friend of mine. He killed it.
Steve?
Benny?
So that was a plot to a Hollywood movie. Oh, come on, boys. It's got a shark in it. What is it?
Jaws.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all day.
I was thinking Sharknado, man.
No. Oh, have you seen that?
No. Oh.
So bad. It's good. It's awesome. All right, try this one. This guy. This creepy guy. He's got scissors for hands. Many people are seeing this. My hands, they're great.
Edward Scissorhands.
There you go. The way these things are written, yeah. There you go. It's one apiece. Benny. Now, this is a contest now.
I love how
he
actually said like half the name of the movie title in the...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I mean, this one...
That helped, didn't it?
This one says the title as well, so it'll be first in best dress with this one, okay?
Where's our buzzers?
I really shouldn't talk about it. I shouldn't. I can't. But really, folks, I can't. Okay? Okay, it's Fight Club.
Fight Club, Brad Pitt.
There you go.
I didn't hear the buzzer, man.
Oh, come on. You're going to stick me.
This one might be a bit tough. So think about how Trump feels about women and think about it that way. Here we go. A bunch of twos with a few nines trying to act like men and lose. Weak. I could easily beat them.
What women want?
No.
Will Ferrell something?
No.
No?
No, A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks and Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell with the baseball in the First World War, Second World War.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. That was a great movie. Yeah, Gina Davis. Everyone loves Hollywood's Gina Davis. All right, here we go, this one. She's a loser, okay? She's losing. I could lose guys in 4 days, probably 2 days. I lose guys so good you don't know.
Benny? Can I buzz for you?
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
Very good. Oh! Nice. Ooh. Very nice. All
Did
right.
You know that?
No, I just said how to lose a guy. Like,
yeah.
I'm up to date. I'm up to date with my rom coms, man.
Man,
you're watching by myself crying in a bucket of ice cream.
He's a big teddy bear.
Here's the final one. Here we go. This guy Max, real mad, no water. Crooked Hillary probably holding out on him. I got water for everyone. Believe me.
Mad Max.
There you go.
Hey,
stop it.
Hey. I should be a movie critic.
What's that, 4-2?
I think it was. I think Edwards nailed you.
It's an abomination.
He did. But I just...
If I'm on my ass kicking, I'm swinging the hammer.
If you're on Twitter, go and have a look at that hashtag because it was bloody gold. Trump Explains Movie Plots, and there were thousands of them.
I was watching... who was it?
Which one? Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. He was doing a quick Quick impersonation.
Oh, he's good impersonation. How good is he?
Fallon is a gun.
It was pretty awesome, man. He was pretending like... Some black dude thanked Trump, and he's like, yes, thank you, Jay-Z, and say hello to your wife, Oprah. Like, just all these racial stereotypes that are so off.
No, Fallon, I mean, and the stuff he does musically. Like, I've seen him do skits, and he's done Neil Young, and then Neil Young's got up and sang with him. Same with Springsteen.
Yeah.
The guy's a genius, yeah.
Yeah, well, Conan O'Brien's old band was Bruce Springsteen's drummer.
Yeah, Max Weinstein. Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Spacey's been on there a few times as well, boys, and done some really good impersonations with Jimmy Fallon. How good is he?
He's fantastic.
I don't like Fallon as an interviewer. I reckon he's a sycophant.
Hey, oh my God, that's great. He's so great.
He's never said a bad word about anyone, you know, but as a talent, he's unbelievable. Yeah, but I don't
like his
interview style. Yeah, that's right. That's where he started. So, there you go.
I love Letterman's interview style was the best. But no talent. Colbert's, but just interview talent.
Colbert's good.
He put people on the spot, though, when he needed to. He actually asked some tough questions when required.
How about that $300 million you missed out? But he could actually get away with it because of his delivery and how he's a very smart man.
Well, plus he was old too. People won't hit old men when they ask questions. It's just like, oh, there's racist grandpa in the car.
Win's a win, mate. Zip it up, old man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
What do you got for us, Benny? Let's get into it.
Well, let's start on the undercard from
202. Huge Biff-a-rama.
We got, it was Cowboy Cerrone. We're going to start the last three fights. It was actually a very good card. Probably better than 200, I'd say. Yeah. The last three fights are absolute guns. We got, Cowboy Cerrone. Cerrone versus Rick Story. Another week, another cowboy fight. He's the most active UFC fighter ever, and it's his 8th fight in the last calendar year, and his 22nd UFC fight. But if you include his WEC fights, which the UFC bought, it's his 32nd straight fight under the Zuffa banner, which is the company that owns and is about to let go of the UFC. So he was coming up against the super tough but notoriously inconsistent Rick Story. He's from the States, but he's fighting out of GSP's TriStar gym in Canada. So after a stand-up only, very entertaining first round, Cerrone landed a beautiful four-shot punch and kick combo to get the finish. This was his last fight on his UFC contract. There's rumors he has been offered a contract with Bellator, the second biggest MMA company in the world, owned by American global mass media company Viacom, for a reported $350,000 per fight.
I used to love that at the end of Roseanne. Every episode of Roseanne, they'd go,
Viacom.
That guy had 47 testicles. It's awesome.
It sticks in your brain, man. It should have been a Transformer.
What is it, Viacom?
Nothing.
Well, Mr. Transformer Viacom, he's been offered a contract for $350,000 per fight, which is more than double the amount of his reported pay of $170,000, which includes a 50% win bonus. So if he lost that fight, if Donald lost the fight, he only would have made $85,000. He wouldn't be the first fighter that the UFC have lost to Viacom, with people such as Tito Ortiz, Matt Mitrione, Wanderlei Silva, and Cheek Congo, amongst a dozen others, which have actually made the transition.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, because he's a hardcore fan favorite. Mm. And he does bring...
Oh, Cowboy, he's great.
Everyone loves him. Yeah. He's a goer, mate. So interesting to see what happens there. In the semi-main event, we've got Anthony Rumble Johnson versus Glover Teixeira.
This was good.
Mate, Glover was coming in the clear number three... light heavyweight in the world, renowned for his explosive KOs. He used to fight 15 kilos lighter at welterweight, but after missing weight twice and nearly dying on the scales, literally, the UFC made him move up in weight. We went up one weight division. He tried 185 pounds and still missed weight, and he's finally settled on 205 pounds, 92.5 kilos, and has been on fire for the last couple of years. Now, I've made my thoughts on weight cutting very clear.
You have?
About the diminishing returns, and this guy's a prime example. He was coming up against Glover Teixeira, who was best known as Chuck Liddell's main sparring partner during his heyday. He spent most of his best years out of the UFC as he was unable to get a work visa until a couple of years ago. He's a notoriously durable KO artist who had only been stopped once in his career 14 years ago in 2002. That went tits up. 13 seconds into the fight when Rumble landed a huge uppercut, knocking him out, as well as one of his teeth, which you can see on the slow-mo GIF replay. Yeah. I don't know if the tooth has landed. I'm pretty sure it's orbiting the planet. So this puts Rumble as the clear number one contender for Daniel Cormier's title. Yep. But the UFC president said after that Rumble versus Jon Jones for the number one contender shot is actual a possibility.
Yeah, right.
Which is very interesting to hear. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Jon Jones. Yeah. As we touched on last week, he said he's got some good news, but no one really knows what's happening yet. So if Dana White's saying the next fight might be Rumble and Jon Jones for the shot, it's going to be... I can't wait to see what plays out. So I don't know how you're going to get away with that. So finally, the big one, McGregor and Diaz. So first... We've probably all seen the press conference where they're
throwing the bottles.
What happened initially? Connor showed up 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
So Diaz had already answered all the questions, this and that. Even Dana wasn't happy. He said, you know, Connor's got to start respecting people's time, this and that. So Connor showed up, he answered a couple of questions, and Nate just walked off stage, started flipping the bird, blah, 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 blah. They end up throwing bottles at each other, and you can hear Dana.
No, Connor. And he's stop it. And apparently,
they're chucking water bottles, but they're also throwing like full cans of Monster Energy drink.
Those bastards will hurt you.
Dude, and some kid got hit. Mate, if I get hit by a feather from a millionaire, I'm injured, man. Like that
opening scene in The Wog Boy. Oh, you work for the government? My neck, my back.
Steve, the neck. But you say government car. So that was the apparently the wheels are in motion that Connor and Nate are already getting sued. The UFC has already been contacted by that kid's solicitor. But I reckon the extra pay per view money that Connor would have made just from that incident alone will more than cover the bill. Yeah. So then they had the open workout. Conor McGregor was quoting Tony Montana from a Scarface, going, F the Diaz brothers, they're cockroaches, all this sort of stuff. It was awesome. Did the best mic drop ever. He goes, if you're with Team Diaz, if it's, you know, F you Team Diaz, if you're with Team Diaz, then F you too. Throws the mic in the air. Nearly knocks out his trainer, just walks off.
But just before that, Kavanaugh walked over to him and whispered in his ear, probably going, hey, don't forget to do the Godfather bit. You know, like, I don't think he needs
reminding, man.
It all happened just after that.
Mate, Conor's the man, mate. So anyway, onto the fight. Enough of the pre-fight shenanigans. Absolute gunfight. First two rounds clearly to Connor.
Yeah.
Mate, brilliant game plan.
Absolutely.
Managed to drop Nate twice in the first round and once in the second. Connor chopped the hell out of Nate's lead leg, which would end up paying off later in the fight. In my opinion, the first round could have actually been a 10-8 round in Connor's favour.
Great, Benny.
His counter left straight was timed to perfection. You can tell he prepared properly with tall, left-handed, lanky guys. Because you can see in the first fight, he was landing some shots, but... you know, sort of catching the back of the head, a bit of the shoulder. These ones were on the chin. Mm-hmm. So that's what you get from rounds and rounds of sparring. So Nate came on strong in the third. Seeing McGregor was clearly looking gassed and dominated the round completely outstriking Connor in the third. Third round clearly to Nate. So to Connor's credit, he came back in the fourth, but just like he said about the first fight, Nate got his burst of energy when he saw Connor looking tired. But unlike the first fight, Connor weathered the storm and came back to win in the fourth round. Yeah. And Connor said that. He goes, mate, he saw me looking tired. He jumped on me, got his... And I panicked. I went for the shot, hit the ground.
Yep.
Game was over. But he said, if I just weathered the storm a little bit, stayed on my feet, it probably would have been a different story.
And it was good. Like those few times he dropped Diaz in the first couple of rounds, he didn't take it to the ground. He just stood there going, get up.
Nate's got a chin and a half. You can see he got dropped. He knew what was going on. Yeah. And he was completely with it.
Yeah.
So round five was just a war of attrition. Connor looking tired after fighting with the bigger man, and Nate bleeding as usual and physically
just so much blood.
Dude, you breathe on him too close. And you start
bleeding on scar
he's
tissue.
Just, mate, he's just got a, as a, I think it was, I don't know if it was Connor said or I thought of this, but he's got a good chin and bad skin. Like he can take a shot, but he just bleeds so easily. But both guys were just, Nate was visibly slower due to the Connor's leg kicks earlier in the fight.
That was a smart move, wasn't it? That was well played.
Oh, mate, that's strategy. And Nate actually checked a few, and Connor's hurt his shin after the fight.
Well, I read this afternoon that he's fractured his foot and his ankle.
He hasn't.
It was out like about an hour ago.
Oh,
and
really?
They're saying he's under a two-month medical suspension.
Yeah, have you heard that, Benny? They're putting a suspension on him now that says, isn't that right, Scotty?
Yeah, they do a suspension.
He's got to get something cleared now by October.
And Diaz has got one. one for the cut over the left eye as well.
But they suspended everyone.
This was an hour ago. Yeah. So, it just came up about an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Because there was rumours straight after the fight he broke his foot.
But and then
the
he said it was his shin. No, it's just my shin.
Yeah.
It's just my shin.
I kicked him about 40 times.
Yeah, potatoes.
So, yeah, Nate won the fifth and final. But in my opinion, Connor won the fight 3-2. And as I said, with round one being a 10-8, I feel like the score of 48-46 would have been fair. And you can see I've done my own little scoring thing there.
Yeah, you have.
So... you can't argue with that. It's perfect. So here's Connor discussing his injuries.
Judge Ben Edwards has scored this bout 48-46.
Hey, turn that around. Let me get a photo of that. Man. We'll put that on Facebook so people can see that's
it's
yours.
It's proof, man. I'm better than CJ Ross, that's for bloody sure. The ref that scored the loss to Canelo. Anyway, so he's Connor discussing his injuries and how fighting the bigger man felt, and he actually gives a few props to Diaz.
Connor, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you so much.
Just get the details first. We saw you limping. We see you come in on crutches. Do you know the extent of your injury?
My shin. I kicked his knee about 40 times, and it's horned me. That's it. Just my shin. Everything else is good.
There was speculation that maybe there was a broken foot. Is that a concern?
No, my ankle was actually a bit banged up coming into the fight. We were practicing leg kicks in camp, so it was a little bit swollen coming in, but it's the shin. I kicked his knee clean. I think it was in the first round. And then I just kept kicking. So I'm feeling it now. But other than that, I am perfect.
Personal mission for you. Can you talk about how you're feeling right now? Compare this. I mean, you're a world champion, but this meant so much to you. Is this a better feeling than that?
You know, this was a hell of a important fight for me. Everyone from the media to the fighters wrote me off this one. They tried to say, if I lose this one, I'm done. They tried to discredit the fact that I'm going up in weight. He was 25 to 30 pounds heavier than me. I don't care what anyone says. He was a big boy in there. He was easily 190 pounds. I was 167 leaving for the fight. And I was saying to myself, I need to eat, try and get up at least over 170. But I've no doubt he was about 190 in there. It was a hell of a fight. I feel I have more skills, but boy, is he one tough motherfucker. He keeps on walking forward. He took every shot. I dropped him multiple times. He just keeps coming. His face was bust open, and he's still coming forward. But I learned from the last contest. I stayed calm. I bounced the shots off my shoulders. I stayed tight in the pocket. I knew I was going to have that moment where he was going to be in my face and dig his forehead under my chin and start unloading. So I caught shots and deflected shots and then hit him to the body a couple of times, and it turned the momentum again in my favor. But it was a hell of a fight. He's a hell of a competitor. The whole lot of it brought out the best in me. It forced me to look at myself truly. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for my coach, John Kavanagh.
Now, Dana offered Connor a rematch with Jose, or a shot at lightweight champ Eddie Alvarez, who actually KO'd Rafael Dos Anjos, who Connor was originally supposed to fight for the lightweight title injured himself.
That's right.
Which started this whole Diaz schmozzle.
It did, yeah.
And Connor got asked about this at the press conference after the fight. So have a listen.
Are you willing to fight Aldo at 145?
How long was I going back and forth with Jose? That must have been a 2-year build-up. He pulled out last minute. I continued to fight someone else. Then we rescheduled a 2-year round-the-world deal with that boy. And then he stepped in and I beat him in 13 seconds. It's hard for me to get excited about that, especially after his last performance. It was a decision. It didn't seem like he didn't go out and get it. You know, he didn't go out and get it like I wanted him to get it. So I don't know. Look, we'll see. I'm the 145-pound champion. The interim 145-pound champion is a man that I KO'd in 13 seconds. I've got to figure out what's next. But right now, I don't know what's next. There's many, many things in the pipeline. So sit tight.
So, and another interesting little tidbit at the press conference was Nate was actually blazing on some CBD oil.
Cannabid oil or whatever.
Yeah. And I've done a, it's no, I don't mind blazing. And it's actually a lot of anti-inflammatory properties, but apparently Asada's investigating him because apparently up until 6 hours after
the fight, you can't touch it.
Under Asada's rule. Correct. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. Yeah,
I reckon he's going to be in trouble.
I reckon if they come down to him, they're f***ing dickheads. But anyway.
Well, they did that to his brother, didn't they? And that's the thing that shits you. Diaz's brother. Nick Diaz got done for like 18 months, didn't he?
They gave him 5 years and then they changed it to 2 years, which has already expired.
Yeah, and then guys like Lesnar do what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's every chance Lesnar could talk to Dana and come back.
Dude, he's just blazing up to relax and recover. I mean, especially CBD oil. You don't get any psychedelic effects from CBD oil. It's just the body numbness. It's a natural painkiller.
Yeah, right.
It's a plant with anti-inflammatory properties that are scientifically proven.
He's actually a really placid guy, Nick Diaz. When I was in Vegas a couple of years ago, I was at a pool party on a Saturday and he came and actually had a chat with us with a few boys that we were with, because obviously we're being martial arts fans, there's Nick Diaz and he was, in terms of, I mean, you hear these stories of guys that have the reputations of not being polite, not being nice, not being approachable.
Yeah,
I've never seen someone just walk up so easily and go, yep, no worries boys, how are you, great to see you, nice to meet you, where are you from? Yep. He was so placid and calm, and I mean, I don't know if it's
probably baked out of his mind.
By all accounts, Nate's the same.
He was such a good guy. We took a few photos with him. He was such a gentleman, like a really nice guy. Nick,
well, you've only got to look at the minute the fight was over the other night, Connor and Nate both hugging each other, saying well done, and they both gave each other props after it as well. So
absolutely, and that wasn't the endorphins talking, because they've still been saying the same thing since.
Yeah.
So yeah, I reckon if, but going back to the Blazing, if they come on down there, that's pretty. Who's Nate hurting?
Yeah.
You know, he's in pain. He just had one of the best fights ever.
It's not legal in Las Vegas yet, is it, over there?
Clark County, I think it is. They've got odd rules. The actual county where Vegas is in, Clark County has got odd rules compared to the rest of the state.
But obviously it falls under USADA, and it was like an hour after the fight, two hours after the fight, so that's where there'll be an issue if there is one.
But I definitely want to try it. I'm going back to Denver. So Brock versus Connor. So as we touched on a few weeks ago, Connor. Yeah. Connor said some not so nice things about the WWE being messed up pussies, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So this little dweeb reporter finally asked Brock about it to his face, and the footage is pretty funny, but you get the idea, so have a listen.
Minutes long. Sam Roberts here with
warning you up front. I keep telling you, he's not friendly and he doesn't like people, Sam. So make your questions good.
Brock, what's the haps?
Oh, God.
The what? Haps?
That's the first of two questions. What's your second one?
What's the haps?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like a thing, you know, like Paul says that he invented it sometimes. It's like, what's the haps, you know?
I don't know, man.
You don't. If you had the opportunity, would you like to face Conor McGregor in a WWE ring?
Man, I take shits bigger than that kid, all right? Come on, guys. I know you guys all play fucking video games and you live in this fucking false sense of reality and shit. I'm 290 pounds, all right? This guy's 145 pounds. That's if he's lucky and gets up and eats his fucking Wheaties, okay? All right, if Conor McGregor wants to say some shit to me and get his name out there more than he already has by dropping my name, I got fucking about 10 words for him. Come here face to face, Connor, all right, and say it to my face. Otherwise, leave me and a fucking WWE out of it, because I came to your arena and kicked ass. Now, if you want, and if you're so fucking tough, come to our arena and try to kick some ass. Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Paul.
You were great. That was the best interview you ever conducted.
On to CM Punk. So we've got in more cross-related WWE UFC news, the UFC have released part one of a mini-documentary chronicling CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks' nearly two-year journey from WWE performer to UFC fighter. Now, basically, I'm surprised the Athletic Commission is letting it happen. Now, unless Punk has improved exponentially, his fight with Mickey Gall, it's a colossal mismatch. Like, the guy he's fighting, I think Mickey Gall's only had like four or five fights, but you can see the guy, he's got a lot of potential. Like, he's green, but, mate, if Mickey Gall was green, bloody CM Punk, what's greener than green? Like
he's chlorophyll.
He's just awkward, man. Yeah.
He's chlorophyll.
He's beyond. It's just algae. Crazy.
Yeah, that video you put up on Dude, your Facebook page.
I was
during the
better
week.
Than that day one.
Yeah,
most people are.
Yeah,
like I've trained some very athletic dude. Day one in the gym, bang, yep. They would kill CM Punk. No questions asked. So I understand signing him from a business perspective, of course, but signing a guy who looks hopelessly uncoordinated, awkward to say the least, with no amateur sporting pedigree in anything, he's going to get flatlined, man. I think it makes the UFC look bad. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where they're trying to capitalize on a little bit of a marketing, I wouldn't say a blip, but they're in a bit of a position where I think I raised it a few weeks ago, but it felt like they were going over this old ground now of getting fighters to keep repeating, you know, these big fights. Not to say that didn't pay off with Diaz and McGregor, and in the context of what we spoke about a few weeks ago, there was always going to be an out of this for McGregor, whatever the way you looked at it. But it felt like there was a little bit of a lull period where getting that talent and dealing with the drugs issues and all the controversy meant that we need to try and expand out and almost like pinch a star from somebody else. It reminds me of, you know, when rugby league players would switch over codes and all that sort of stuff, and you're almost taking the best talent from elsewhere. I don't think it's good for business because I think it needs to be the guys who are genuinely the best fighters out there, the actual guys who are the best trained, the best.
But you look at a guy like Brock, similar story, but completely different set of circumstances. Like, he was an absolute gun.
You've got Rousey's in a similar situation like that too, when you're talking about the martial arts background growing up and what sort of thing. But
they got a base.
I think Lesnar athletically, like you say, has that base. But when you've got guys who have predominantly been involved in the sports entertainment business, which is run like that as well. You look at the way Vince McMahon has run his business for 15, 20 years.
No chance.
You know, just taking people and turning them into however he wants to do it. This is full serious fighting and a very different thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only saving grace for Punk is that footage is over a year old.
Yeah, that was the start of last year.
It was the very start of it last year, so who knows? I mean, he's had, what, nearly a year and a half now? So
yeah, he's had 18 months, but he's also had back surgery.
Yeah, right,
and
okay.
You can't polish a turd, but you can dip it in gold. So hopefully they bring
CM turd.
So I don't know, man. It's going to be awkward.
Corn edge.
I'll be watching, and I dare say a lot of people are going to be watching too.
Everyone will watch it.
Everyone
will watch it to see what happens.
That's on the Miocic Overeem undercard. And speaking of, do we have an uppercut? I've got an uppercut.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's
I don't
go.
Know who it is, but I know who it is, but I don't know who it is. And we'll get to that later.
All right.
One last little thing. We've got a Carlos Condit versus Damian Maia, not Damon, it's Damian, which is a pretty cool name, who is Carlos Condit, mate. He's one of the best welterweights ever.
Yep.
He's never in a boring fight. He's an absolute gun, fighting the best jiu-jitsu player in MMA in Damian Maia, and that's on this weekend. So that's I'll have the full wrap-up of that next week. And that's about a wrap, mate.
Nice.
All done.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Time to say thanks to another one of our wonderful sponsors, the crew at Lang's Auto, Yass Road in Queanbeyan.
No any problems with the soccer man, soccer man? Am I the soccer man?
Yeah,
soccer van man?
Yeah. I don't know what you are.
I don't know what I am. But the soccer van has been flying turbulence free.
Excellent.
I hit 100
about.
Ks the other day on the highway. No nice. Wobbling.
Downhill with a breeze at the back.
Yep. Neutral. It's been going great guns, mate.
Very, very nice. And good news this week, Johnny Lang has renounced his love of Fords and has become a Holden man.
Oh, jeez.
It's not true. I just said that because his friends will heap shit on him. But no, he loves his Fords,
that's
does
a cardinal
Johnny. Sin. But they'll look after anything you've got. You got any sort of automobile, the guys will be able to fix it, get it rego ready for you in New South Wales, green slips, the whole lot, even an auto electrician on site. So go down and check them out. Yass Road in Queanbeyan is where you'll find them. Lang's Auto is their name.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time to get loud and local. Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
This week in local music, boys, we've got a track from the VBs. It's called Drive Through Botlow, and the album is Crack Us Another. Now, there's a good story behind this, Scotty.
Just give us that in your best Aussie accent. You can't say Drive Through Botlow like you're a ring announcer,
all right,
mate.
Okay, let's start again.
Drive Through Botlow.
This week's song is from the VBs. And it's called Crack. No, it's not called Crack Us Another. That's the
album. That's the album.
Yep. So the song is Drive Through Botlow.
Yeah.
And it's from the album Crack Us Another.
Yeah. These boys have been around Canberra for years, and they're just a good bunch of blokes that write funny tunes. They're as Australian as you get. They got a song called Aussie Beef Snags after the Aussie Beef Snags you buy at Woolies. And
We've got a few other songs.
But the reason I wanted to play this, because this album's about 6-7 years old now, but they're playing at the Transit Bar and for a gig called Remembering the Ginger Ninja, Ginger Fest 2016. Now, the Ginger Ninja was a bloke called Nicholas, and he was killed here in Canberra in his flat by one of his friends about 4 or 5 years ago at Latham. I don't know if you remember this in the story. So horrible, horrible story. And, yeah, his life was Nicky Schreiber is his name, the Ginger Ninja, and he was murdered in his home late 2013. He was a huge fan of punk music. He was at every punk show in Canberra. He used to go and watch punk gigs around the world. And the punk community in Canberra have got together and put this on every year, and it's at the Transit this year. It's on Saturday, November 19. A bunch of great bands are going to be there. Lame Excuse, the VBs, Nicky Cody, the comedian's going to be there. And the gig coincides with what would have been Nicholas's 30th birthday.
Oh, how good.
So, yeah, so it's great to see the music community get together, as they always do, like the fight community, always help a charity event and always get amongst it. So if you haven't heard these boys, you've probably seen them at Summer Nats over the years. They play there all the time. But the film clip for this was shot at the Kingo Bottle-O, so you got to love it. The VBs. This is Drive Through Bottle-O. It's a great song. Check it out. Driving down the driveway, in box, I crunch her in the first. I'm driving real slow.
Sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
All right, Mr. Payos, what's happening, mate? Segment 5, it is all yours, hey, my friend.
Did you like my name suggested on Facebook the other day?
What?
The Broad Planet of Athletic
Activity.
Instead of Wide World of Sports, so we don't get sued.
Yeah.
I think we'll be okay. If someone from Wide Water Sports is listening. No, I'm not a hater. Yeah. I'm just saying if anyone at Wide Water Sports is listening and wants to sue us.
We're original. What's Maxie done lately? We're original, man.
Probably written another book.
Yeah.
knowing Maxie.
All right, go for it, mate.
Sorry, go for us.
Yes, welcome to the White. No, no, no.
Yes.
Yeah, so big week of sport as it always is, fellas. We'll start off with the Rio Olympics and do a quick review of what happened there.
Rio
de Janeiro. Yeah, we did discuss a few weeks ago that we'd give the Olympics some time to actually shine and see how it went. I definitely can't say it went off event-free in terms of controversy and that sort of thing. But
and poor numbers in the crowds, in a lot of the crowds. Like, yeah, it's like you'd see the weightlifting and the diving and the swimming and stuff. They weren't full. The events weren't full.
That's just because the people just don't have the money.
That's right.
You're right, Scotty. And the biggest things were as well is that the big ones, like the swimming, and you notice the athletics when they started as well, they were very bare those first few days, especially the day sessions as well, which is very disappointing. So all in all, I think it went off without a hitch, as good as the Brazilian people, the Brazilian government.
Most stadiums fell down while events were happening, which was always a plus.
That's it. But I mean, you know, looking at the way the countries performed, the USA topping the medal count as well, they have a real habit of peaking when it comes to the Olympics. Like, they just get themselves primed as a nation, and their athletes do really, really well. So full credit to them. Australia finished with 8 gold medals, which I thought was maybe a little bit under what the expectations were, especially in the pool. We had a few more potentials and could have done a bit better.
I mean, our trials were done 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And there's
not too long ago.
Yeah, there's talk now that they're going to change it to the American style. And
the American style?
About 4 weeks before the Olympics. Yeah, so you know
that's right. Yeah. But that's why the Americans are peaking as well, because they've got those trials so, you know, close to the Olympics.
Yeah, they're
so
in fight form. Rolling.
Boys, what did you make of the media attention that our athletes got, and especially our swimmers? I note the Campbell sisters were two that unfortunately they didn't medal in the final of the women's 100 metres, and it just felt like the pressure was on them so much. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Benny, from an athlete's point of view like that? And
the thing is, all the athletes are under that kind of pressure, and if there's any kind of expectation, you know, if you've got some kind of ability, there's always going to be a degree of expectation on you. And you can't, some people just deal with it well and some people don't. Maybe it was the media. Maybe they just weren't good enough. Maybe they were overrated. There's so many variables that go into why they didn't perform as well as we thought they should have performed.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't reckon there's anything wrong with the media attention. You just have to, they get media training. They understand, they learn how to deal with
it. Our media is very quick, though. The Australian media, like the British tabloid press, they are pretty vicious.
Yep.
Absolutely. But it's part of being an athlete.
Yep.
Mm. Look at my YouTube videos, man. I have my best performance. Like, oh, look at the fatty. I'm like, I just knocked out the number 4 dude in the world, you fucking dick. You're not a fucking bodybuilder. You know what I mean? Like, you can't win. You're always going to cop it. I've had death threats and everything before. If I private messages on Facebook, I've still got them saved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
death threats. Some idiots.
I'm not dead, but I hope things, you fucking die. Bad
things. Oh, right.
Some blonde chick in Queensland.
Oh, there's your problem right there. Yeah. Queensland, did she use the internet?
Idiot me, like, wrote back. I'm all upset. No. And right before I walked out the fight, I'm thinking about, this bitch is watching this. Shit.
Repeat it after me, Benny. Don't feed the trolls.
Mm. Poke the bear.
Would even consider classing myself in an athlete's shoes, but same deal. I'd a public
I've seen a footy player back in the day, Scotty.
And I've seen you swing a hammer at the Canberra show, mate. You put me to shame.
I did put you to shame there. Being in the media and having the profile I had here when I was on the radio, same deal. You know, you'd go through a ratings period. You know you'd done some really good stuff, but the survey diaries went to people that didn't like you, so you didn't get a good result.
Yeah.
And people would shit can you. Yeah. And other times where you think they probably didn't perform at our best, but, you know, the numbers fell your way. Yeah. So it's understandable. It's no lack of effort, and I don't think any of the athletes went over there and didn't try.
Oh, 100%. There's so many variables. So many things that could have
happened. What's the altitude in Rio? If they weren't there long enough, did they acclimatise? And most of the finals over there were on at friggin' midnight.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. The athletics finals and swimming were late. Yeah. I mean, there's issues like that. I mean, one thing I compare it to is watching SportsCenter and the American programs and the ESPN type of programs. They were big on the Olympics, but they also had huge segments in their programs, which still had their NFL coverage, their MLB, Major League Baseball at the time, what's happening in the offseason of the NBA, that sort of thing. So everything was getting its fair amount of coverage. I mean, even though the Olympics was the headline event, it just seemed like our media was just into our athletes all the time, boys. It felt like every time you turned the TV on, there was, you know, an inspirational story or something into their childhoods, their upbringing, or how they got there, which, don't get me wrong, is great, but I think that builds the expectation a little bit, as opposed to, hey, this person's competing tonight and good luck to them, or this is where they've come from and, you know, what a great story this will be.
You can't write us off as a country, though. I mean, top 10 in the world, you know, I mean, our population is as big as Los Angeles and New Zealand. As it turned out, New Zealand were the most successful country at the Olympics per capita, per medal.
Because usually that's us, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're normally up there. So I think we were about 7th this year in these Olympics.
Per head of capita.
Yeah, that's right.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know. So New Zealand killed it. A medal for every like 360,000 people or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so good on them.
But going back to your media thing, I think a big part of the thing is these guys only really have the spotlight on them like once every four years.
Yeah.
Whereas me, it's every 2-3 months or whatever. Correct. Footy players, it's every week. A year
yeah.
For every week, you know. Yeah. So you get used to it after.
And on the field.
Yeah. But once every 4 years, especially with some of the swimmers are so young.
Yeah.
Obviously, that plays a huge part in it as well. You can have all the media training in the world, but when the spotlight's actually on, and you're the eyes of your country are on you. It's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, full credit to them. Everybody did perform, and like you said a minute ago, they certainly didn't go there to underperform. It just feels like our media is right on it, and they want them to do well. And as you mentioned, like the tabloid English media, are the same.
I
look at what they're like with like British football, and I tell you, in the cricket, like just that sort of stuff.
But they're just creating controversy for headlines.
That's right. They're trying to sell papers.
That's what papers do, don't they?
They're trying to sell papers in a world that doesn't buy papers anymore.
But they're going to turn into the clickbaiters of the future.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Nice.
Boys, what's your opinion on Michael Phelps? Is he the greatest athlete of all time, the greatest Olympic athlete? Certainly from an individual perspective, that was one of the great performances. Another 5 gold medals, 5th Olympics, 31 years old.
I'd say greatest swimmer. I don't know if you could compare him to... How do you compare him to Usain Bolt, who's only got 2 events to run in, or 3 events to run in, as opposed to how many can Phelps swim in? 7 or 8 events?
Yeah. Plenty of events and plenty of disciplines.
I think there's definitely an argument both ways.
Best swimmer, hands down.
Yeah. But I think you can argue, like, I love both of them. I'm not going to say one's better than the other, but, you know, obviously Phelps is more, you know, more different techniques, more skill and all that. But to maintain that level of speed and fast switch over an 8-year period.
Because he's been on the Diaz gear.
Maybe. Yeah, they're both on the Gunja, man. I'm telling you, man. It's good shit,
the
man.
Essential oils.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
But it's so good. I mean, Usain Bolt, too, is such a slow starter out of the blocks, you know, because he's so big. And they reckon.
What is he, 6'5"?
6'5", which is, you know, normally sprinters are great between sort of 5'8 and 6 foot, they reckon. Yeah, they reckon he's too big. Yeah, so it takes him a while to get up straight.
Yeah.
But they reckon he does the 100 in 41 strides, whereas Gatlin did it in 45.
Was he juiced to the tits, Gatlin?
Six times. That was why the big call, but he couldn't
keep
up with
Bolt. And he's still allowed to... How long was he banned for or suspended?
I don't know, but I heard 6 times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been around for a while. But that 50-60 metre mark where Bolt just turns on the nitrous, that's just awesome, isn't it?
He has a bit of turbo lag for the first 60.
Yeah, he does. And then he just goes that 4x100 where he took the bat in like probably second or third and then just went, zhoink.
Yeah,
gold.
Yeah,
it's absolute
beautiful.
Gold.
It's absolutely
the great argument of the GOAT, the greatest of all time, is always a cracking one though. Yeah. When you look at like your Muhammad Ali's, Tiger Woods in golf, Roger Federer tennis, Jack Nicklaus. You look at it's the greatest UFC fighters of all time. Yeah. Different disciplines, different events.
Yeah,
it's
one always that will an argument. Different eras.
I mean, it promotes such a great.
And people look for different things as well.
That's right. I mean, it promotes such a great conversation, but at the same time, we do have to give credit to him, one of the great athletes, and well done to him.
Yeah,
boys, the Boomers. Basketball.
Serbia,
I mean, what's your thoughts on this? We went into this tournament with a lot of expectation. We had a great game against the US in our pool. Mm. We got to Serbia in the semifinals, and I guess we
beat Serbia in the pool. Yeah. We beat Serbia in the group rounds.
Yeah. And we bottled it when it came to that big game. And after we got to the quarterfinal, had Lithuania, who's our arch nemesis from Olympics going past. Yeah. We beat them really well.
Yeah.
And then we got to that game against the Balkan side, Serbia.
They just
tore us off the park. So
I watched that whole game, and they just couldn't shoot.
Were you
they
screaming?
I was getting pretty aggro at the telly. They just couldn't sink them. But, I mean, they got dutted in the final for bronze against Spain. That call. But again,
shoddy.
They probably shouldn't have been in that position. Mm. Who knows what happened
what
against Serbia. There was a foul called on Paddy Mills. It wasn't a foul, and they were behind by 1 point at the time. Spain sent him to the line with 5 seconds to go. Two shots. Both shots went in, and Australia didn't have time to sink a basket.
The referee's name ended in a vitch.
Spain os.
Espanos.
Hablas español. Cerveza, por favor.
Yeah, that's good.
Beer, please.
Heading into the next.
All I can say is, you are beautiful. Beer, please.
You are the most frustrated white wog in the world, aren't you, Benny?
I wish I wasn't. I'm adopted, man.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Benny. 4 years' time, how do you reckon we're going to go, Scotty? We've got guys in the likes of Exum will be in the team, hopefully. You've got Ben Simmons, you've got Ton Maker, you've still got that backbone of Mills, Bogut. Will we be a better chance then? Or with the fact that, you know, your LeBrons and your Currys and whoever are the world-class NBA players who can play then, they'll probably have less of a concern going to Tokyo than they will in Rio.
You would think so.
Will it be, you know, second come, second best again, unfortunately? Or
you'd think with LeBron and everyone in, no one will beat the US just because they're too good. You'd like to think Australia could medal, especially with Simmons and Exum, because those guys are just guns and they're going to have 4 years of NBA under their belts. And I mean, look at
that's
our squad
right,
this
that's
time.
Right.
Last Olympics, I think we had two NBA players.
Yep.
This time we had four starting NBA players.
Correct.
You know, so
yep.
Aaron Bynes, Bogut, Dellavedova, and Patty Mills.
Yep.
But don't you think, though, for every LeBron, there's like, even if LeBron's the A class, even like the B guys, aren't the B guys like,
as in America,
best Australia could have to offer? Like, is it like a B level NBA guy?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, guys like, the good thing with the Australian and the Americans hate playing it because we've got mongrel. You know, we really mongrel up. Yeah, we do. We get in there and we have a, and as you know, man, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the old one, the size of the fight and the dog. So you'd like to think Australia could medal next time around, that our chances would be improved. But
I think
it's
certainly going to help if these young guys can get a go. Ben Simmons can prove himself in the next 4 years.
He's a gun.
Hey, how good is he?
I've never heard of him.
Dante Exum. He was the first pick in the draft choice this
first
year.
First round NBA draft.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Aussie guy?
Yeah.
How come I never heard of him, man?
Oh, because you watch his fights, Benny. If he was UFC, you'd be over it, son.
Simo.
Yeah. Oh, Simo, mate. Yeah. Look, all in all, I think we did well. I guess, like you said before, depending on how you view that disappointment of how we could have gone, doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They got home reasonably controversy free. A couple of funny incidents, I thought, like the Irish IOC member or whatever he was getting caught in a room next door in his robe trying to hide from the authority because he was part of a ticketing scam. Ben, he's just a crack.
Ryan Lochte.
What
a dickhead. And he's that guy. Is he the biggest dead shit that's ever drawn breath?
Like, yeah.
I saw interviews with him this week. Yeah. And he's the guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. he's a bit of a deadbeat.
He's a dead shit.
Did he lie about that whole getting?
Yeah, they went to a servo. They were drunk. They pissed everywhere. Yeah, and they smashed a soap dispenser and stuff in the toilet. And then claimed he got pulled over by fake cops and had a gun cocked to his head.
What a mad idea.
So far from the truth.
And was he the one that Phelps beat? But the commentator got it wrong and said, Lochte's beating Phelps. Was that him?
Yeah.
That would have been, imagine he probably just listens to that by himself in his hotel room up until the commentator goes, oh, hang on, I got my lanes wrong.
No, the guy's a moron. So, but anyway. And a bunch of Aussie athletes got done trying to scam their way into the Boomers game.
That's right, and there's also the two that stayed out past the curfew or something like that and made up some stories. I mean, it's probably just a bit difficult because of the circumstances around Rio. But anyway, Tokyo in 4 years' time, we'll see how we go there.
Indeed.
Bit of Raiders love, guys. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the fact that they needed to beat one or two of the top two to be a chance. And since then, they've beaten them both and knocked off the Tigers, the Parramatta
last week.
They're a real chance, I think, now, guys.
They started slow last week. No Josh Hodgson, and he's been the glue that's held that team together this year.
What was halftime score? 18-4 or something crazy?
You're asking questions.
18-4, correct.
Ricky must have given him a massive spray.
It's the Viking clap.
How good was the Viking clap?
How good is it, man?
Doesn't work when you do it on your own in a bedroom.
I'm like the guy in the Adam Sandler movies. You can do it.
You can do it. Rob Schneider. Yeah, but no, I mean, the fact that they play without Josh, who was suspended for that week, and they came back at halftime and just down that Parramatta right edge, Jared Croker and Brenko Lee, on fire.
Stunning, aren't they? Yeah. And I reckon BJ Leilua is a huge chance for Origin next year as well. He's a form center.
Yeah, his defence is what worries.
One, Scotty.
No, not at all, man. I mean, these blokes didn't want to be at Newcastle, so they let go.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I mean, in all honesty, I've known the Raiders guys so long, I would be more than stoked to see them get up because Canberra, I think Canberra supporters are a little bit more fickle than Newcastle supporters. You've only got to look at the crowds Newcastle's had this year.
Yeah.
We've had our worst season and our crowd numbers are about 14,000 a game.
He's still matching or beating the Raiders, that's right.
Without a doubt. So, but it's great to see Canberra Stadium full.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember back to the days when the Raiders won in the early 90s. Like, that was just great scenes down here. And I've got a lot of good mates who are huge Raiders fans and I'd love to see them win it for those boys, you know.
Yeah, so, no, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. Great to see the Ricky haters as well being a little bit quiet. He's a guy, he's a much maligned coach.
Yeah.
Had a lot of early success in his career when it came to the Roosters.
Correct.
Did a really good job with the Sharks in 2008 when he took them to an equal minor premiership. And then they ended up
getting... Even the Bulldogs earlier on than that as well.
He played for the Dogs. He wasn't. Reserve grade coach.
Learn his art there. That's right. And that year with the Sharks as well, they got bundled out by a rorting Melbourne Storm as well in the prelim final. So, the fact that he's turned it around, he got Parramatta. You know,
he set up Parramatta to the point Brad Arthur's got it.
Thank you very much, Scotty. You know your league, mate. That's what he did. He was the guy who came in and was able to make the tough decisions.
Public enemy number one.
That's it. Clean out the squad that needed a clean out. And he set it up for Brad Arthur's 3 years. And obviously, they didn't have their issues this year. They would have been potentially a top four side.
Oh, so without a doubt.
Good on him. He's done such a great job. And I really hope that they go all the Raiders. They're a good bunch of boys.
Really nice. He did the same thing in Canberra like 3 years ago. Totally chop and changed everything. And now it's starting to pay off dividends now.
Yeah, nice. I'll try and get Croaks. Jared Croker, if you're listening, buddy, you've got to come on the show. I've texted him a couple of times this year and we just haven't been able to line it up. So
yeah, let's get him on. I'll see
if I can line up Croaks.
He's in the room.
It don't work when there's three people.
It's awe-inspiring.
Three people and a snake. Come on.
You're not getting anything out of that diamond python.
He played once, remember? Whoa. Woke us up nicely. Local footy boys this weekend. The major semi-final is the Queanbeyan Roos and the Queanbeyan Blues. So they both had great seasons this year. Blues two-time defending premiers. The Roos went 15 wins and one loss out of a 16-game regular season. Blues went 13 wins out of 16 with a draw and two losses. So that's a major semi. Just wanted to ask you a quick question, Benny, back in remembering your footy days. I mean, how big was the rivalry then? And I know that a few, going into it now, it's such a big game now because the Roos have been, premiers 10, 11, 13, Blues are the last 2 years. They're the dominant clubs in what is a really good competition and heading into a big major semi this weekend. I mean, no love lost again.
Yeah, we'll talk about a Sporting City. I was running around with them back in 2001, 2 and 3.
Yep.
And back then, like we'd all get...
You were Blues, Benny? You
I was Blues,
for the Blues,
I live in Belconnen and played for the Blues. So, the rivalry on the field, man, it was just like State of Origin for us. And Blues and Maroon as well, We'd be going for it, just... Dirty footy. Tommy Redoni.
old school footy.
We would have loved it, but then we'd be on the cans at the Royal that night. So, that's 13 years ago now. So I'm sure it's only grown, and it gets the whole city involved. I mean, how many times do you see a city? How many people in Queanbeyan?
30-something thousand. 42. Oh, is it 42 now?
Well, that's what the sign says coming on Yes Road.
and you got two gun sides that are running the local comp, being the ACT comp, and having them two in it. It's magic. Some absolute talent.
Dominating the local comp. So that'd be a big one to watch, actually, this Saturday afternoon at the Kangaroos Club Oval there, 3 o'clock. So a big major semi-final in local first grade. Just a quick one on local boxing. Dave Toussaint's next opponent has been confirmed. Yeah. It's the Lionheart Nader Hamden. Yeah. I want to know what you boys think about that. Nader Hamden, a great name in Aussie boxing. He's fought for a couple of world titles and he's come up against Mundine and a
wasn't
few guys
Nader
overseas.
On one of the reality fight shows there? Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He was on the Garth contender. One.
And Garth Wood, mate, he wasn't the best boxer on the show by far.
He was a street fighter.
He was just awkward and had a huge punch, mate. Yeah. And that fight with Mundine was no joke. But mate, Nader Hamden, back in the day, like he's a world class fighter. He's still, I think he's a taxi driver still or something.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, full time cabbie. Yeah,
maybe three world title shots and just came up short. But rest assured, he is a world class fighter. But
it'll be the toughest fight Dave Toussaint's
on paper. But mate, Toussaint,
is he a tougher fight than Ty or Moxon? You reckon, Benny?
Yes, yeah. Moxon's a super duper tough guy, but more of a kickboxing background. So he was never going to outclass Dave
as a boxer.
But he can hang with him in toughness, and Moxon comes to fight. Same with Jordan Ty, kickboxing background. Toussaint's hands. He's slick, mate, and he's humble, and his work ethic is through the roof. Never misses a session. I reckon, mate, it's a good fight for Dave, and he's going to get a good name on his resume, but I would definitely be putting my money on Dave for sure.
Yeah, provided he can get through it, that's right.
We'll have to get Davey in. Got to get Dave in on the show so we can have a chat to him in the lead up to it, maybe.
Absolutely.
I'd love to fire him up and give him a few Red Bulls to get the
game. Oh, really? I suppose I've seen some of the video work he's done with Nick, and he's pretty laid back, isn't he?
He's a sweetheart of a guy, mate. But he's
all right. I'll throw the snake at him halfway through the interview.
Dave, welcome. Yeah, so that'd be good. I hope he does really well. I mean, I think he's on a path to greatness. I mean, he looks like he's got all the talent, and from the professionals like yourself, Benny, who know boxing inside out, I think he's got it all. So good luck to him.
Yeah, indeed.
That's
indeed.
It. So finishing off, just a quick one on European football. All the seasons have started overseas there now in England. All the big money teams that we spoke about who have spent all that big money at the top of the league, shock me, Man United, Manchester City and all the big clubs, and then you look at Real Madrid, Barcelona. It's becoming a little bit, I hate to say it, it's coming a little bit boring now, these clubs that can just go and buy everyone. And I wanted to make a quick note that Tim Cahill has come back to Australia now and signed for Manchester City's feeder club here, Melbourne City. So
that's right.
Great signing for the league, and it's great for Australian football.
It'd be great for Australia to have Timmy Cahill back here playing in every week.
That's it, yeah. And for everyone to watch him, Australian legend, Socceroos, Socceroos.
How many
legend.
Young kids is he going to inspire?
Yeah, heaps, yeah. heaps. You're exactly right, Scott. Yeah. He'll get people into the game, but it's just getting a little bit boring when you see these big clubs who now have these conglomerates like Manchester City. They own New York City. They own Melbourne City. That's the sort of money and the prestige that's bringing these guys back. And then you look at all the results from the weekend in Europe. You got all your big teams winning easily. It's just becoming a sport where, the rich are getting richer, and then the fan who goes there and pays the money and watches is just getting ripped off. So it's a real shame if you ask me, but a coup for Australian football anyway.
Yeah, I've got a bee in my bonnet about Tim Cahill.
Oh, really? What's that?
We were on the same flight together when I fought in Madison Square Garden back in 2013. Uh-huh. And they did an announcement.
Was that against Jamal?
Yeah. So they did the announcement. All the first class passengers, can you please board? And we'd like to welcome Tim Cahill. So he boarded about 20 minutes before me. And I'm off the back in cattle class, man. I think, man, one on his chin, I'd be famous, but I didn't. Probably for the wrong reasons. So I want to be a first class too, man. Ran over.
So I'm just going to deck the best sporting soccer player that's ever left this country.
That's right, our best export.
Queanbeyan disgraced thug beats Tim Cahill.
Win's a win, man.
Edwards commented afterwards saying, Tim who? I didn't know who he was. So that wraps it up, boys. I mean, there's so much more we can talk about, and we'll be here all night if we do. But yeah, week in sport.
Thanks, Stevie.
Mate. Broad planet of athletic endeavour.
Wide world of sports, Ben. Wide world of sports.
Broad planet, man.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
So it's listener question time. We have a question for Stevie P from Kelly. Brace yourself, Stevie.
I'm ready.
What made you get into ring announcing, and who are your influences?
Oh, nice question.
Great question. Thank you very much, Kelly, for the question. I appreciate that.
Was Kelly one of the girls you were texting at the fight night when I was sitting next to you?
What do you mean, one of them?
Man, seriously, I have never seen a man text so many people.
Shut up. It was friendly.
I don't even know if they were chicks, but I just kept going. How many people?
You're backing up too little too late, Scotty.
For those listeners out there, Scotty's got his foot on the sewing machine as we speak. Wonderful stitch up there, Scotty. Thank you very much. Kelly, thank you for the question. It all started for me when I was a kid, and I was a big fan of wrestling as a kid, watching WWE and WCW growing up. And in the old WCW days, when Ted Turner was really taking that to the next level, and they're having their Monday Night Wars, which you probably remember.
Yeah,
time, 96 to 98. And what they did was, at one point, they had some really big stars there, like Goldberg and Sting and all their big, the NWO were going huge. And what they did was is they brought in Michael Buffer as a ring announcer for the WCW. So, I mean, obviously, he was famous for doing all your big HBO shows and all your world boxing title fights and all
that
sort of thing.
He's been in The Simpsons, man.
He's been in The Simpsons, that's right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Michael Buffer would be there, WCW Monday Nitro, and he'd be announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Goldberg. Like, who is this guy? This guy's amazing. I remember being like a young, 8 or 9 year old watching this guy. How good is this bloke? I don't even know who this is. And,
Mummy, buy me a 3-piece suit. I want to try this.
Yeah. I need a bow tie now. And that was when I first got an eye for the ring announcing and watching, these guys, him and his art form as well, because he does such a great job of it. Yeah. Heading into, getting into teenage years, I used to watch a lot of The Rock, and I thought The Rock was fantastic.
His promos.
His charisma when he'd talk about getting Stone Cold Steve Austin, make sure you get your ass in a jabroni driver when you get that check into the smack.
Smackdown Hotel. And as soon as you get there, The Rock will slap the taste out of your candy mouth. If you smell. And then he would just go.
Oh, the Rock is a gun.
He's a gun.
And he'd do that in front of a live audience every week.
But and it was just class. And I mean, I remember watching The Rock going, gee, that would just be incredible to be able to get up there and watch that.
I mean, the pedigree he had, though, with his dad and then his grandfather, like as if he was ever going to do anything else.
But Rocky even those Rocky skills, Johnson.
These parents didn't have those mic skills.
No.
That was just unbelievable. Yeah. Everyone always gets their bean bonnet when you say a newer guy has the best mic skills ever. But I reckon Rock's the best talker in WWE history.
Has to be Benny.
Well, people say, oh, what about superstar Billy Graham? This and I'm like, yeah, for his time, he was awesome. But Rock's another level.
That's right.
But for him to be able to do that every single week was just incredible. Like you say, live audience, he'd come out. Excuse me. he'd come out every week and put on a show for everybody. So that was something that I really loved. And then when I started, doing local radio when I was 18, it just became, I guess, part of that whole media thing. I just loved it. And Benny, you'll love this story. You remember this. I mean, going back, it was about 7-8 years ago. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. I think it was a while back. Anyway, we were on a Bucks party together. And we were just doing announcements after a night out on the drink. We were having a good time and we're doing announcements. And Benny Edwards is he's a big person to thank very much for all the ring announcing. He basically spoke to a few of the right people and got me my first gig here. And then from there is where it all started.
3 years, 7 months ago.
Is that how long ago it was? There you go.
Well, so, there you go.
Good with dates, man.
Yeah, he's good with dates. Nice. So that's where it all started from there for me. And then they were the influences that I have. And then obviously watching UFC, Michael Buffer. Half brother, yep.
They didn't even know they were. I read Bruce Buffer's book, and I think I said I was going to lend you that 2 years ago. It's in the mail.
I'm still waiting for that one.
He didn't even know. He was just watching Michael on TV.
And obviously,
that guy looks like me, and he sort of.
Same dad, same mum.
Same dad.
Insane is genes that they both do exactly the same thing. They've both got great voices.
Well, that's the thing, though. Bruce says, mate, I don't have the voice my brother Michael has, so that's why I have to be so much more enthusiastic.
He's more of a showman than his brother.
He's more of a tear your ACL jumping around announcing.
He's doing rehab for that as well at the moment. I was also a big fan of Jimmy Lennon Jr. He was just a very, very smooth voice, and he was the guy that did a lot of Manny Pacquiao's fights in the last, it's showtime. He was one of the greats as well, and I mean, his father as well, Jimmy Lennon Sr., was one of the greats back in the 60s and 70s as well. So that were my influences.
Did you ever get into Howard Cosell very much?
No, I didn't. No.
How good was buddy John Voight as Cosell in Ali?
He was amazing. He was perfect for that. But even like Cosell back in the day, he was so controversial. I was listening to Bill Burr, the comedian, talk about him the other day, and it was a fight between George Foreman and Ron Loyal, which is not a finesseful fight at all. It's just bombs away. Yep. Just two big tough dudes throwing haymakers. And Cosell, he's doing the commentary with one of the fighters that George Foreman knocked out. And the commentator's saying, oh, man, this technique is very amateur. It's terrible. And the guy next to him...
terrible.
Yeah, the guy's next to him is like, he actually just knocked me out and he's the number two guy in the world behind Ali. He's like... I know what I'm looking at. This is a disgrace, but very entertaining. I think you should do that, man.
Yeah.
Ruffles the feathers.
Do you want me to move into that?
Ruffles the feathers,
put on my best New York accent for you, Benny. So it's all going well. It's all really good, obviously.
What do you got coming up?
So got a big show coming up in Sydney on Saturday night, a huge MMA show. It's called Urban Fight Night 8 out at the Whitlam Leisure Centre in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a huge event. We're looking at 1,500 to 2,000 people there. It'll be absolutely massive. So it's all coming together, and obviously with that goal of announcing in Las Vegas in a few years' time, we'll keep working towards it.
So anyone listening, you need an announcer, just hit us up.
Yeah, let's get you on the Mundine Green Fight.
Yeah, we should do that. I'd love to.
That'd be nice.
Let's start
a petition.
Do we know the guy that does that? Is that one of the people
the
we know?
The promoter? Yeah, I think
it could
be.
Or the announcer?
I'm not sure.
Demicoli or something?
Let's just go and pay him a visit,
Benny. I'll give him the most sizzling. the most sizzling on Mr. Burns at the bowling alley.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Thanks very much, Kelly, for the question. And obviously, I hope you'll see me in Las Vegas in a few years' time. That'd be great.
And expect to text shortly.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
To liven things up.
All right, Benny, you jumped the gun a little earlier in the show by announcing this band, so, mate, take it away.
Well, we're playing Muse, and I saw the word before, and I thought we were talking about it, so maybe I'm a bit dyslexic. But our listener request this week from Shane Bashford wants Uprising by the aforementioned Muse.
Yeah, what a great song this is. Great, is it? Great, oh, great awesome band, song. Man, Scotty. These guys are in my top three of best concerts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and I saw them in Sydney in 2010, and the live show, three people on stage and the noise they make and the professionalism.
Yeah.
They remind me a lot of, it's like they took the baton from Queen.
Yeah.
And sort of took over from Queen. Baton. Yeah, man, and amazing, amazing. Yeah.
Do you reckon, slight diversion, do you reckon Freddie Mercury is the best frontman of all time?
Without doubt.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Because I had this argument with someone the other day about Mick Jagger.
Well, certainly, oh God, no. Jagger's great, but not a singer's arsehole, Jagger. Yeah. Whereas, well, he's not. Whereas
that's
Freddie,
what I said, but much more polite.
Yeah, nice. Well, Freddie, obviously, just
he
the best voice
in rock.
He had
a mustache and a cape, man.
Yeah, Freddie.
None can defend.
Freddie at number one, I say, as far as frontmen go, Bon Scott at number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just of
Bon
sheer
was,
energy.
Oh, just Bon was amazing.
Well, what else could Bon have done? Well, what's he going to do? Sell dishwashers? Like, there's nothing else that guy could do for a job except for be a rock star.
He was a limo driver for the bands in
doesn't
Adelaide in the 70s, and that's how he got into it. But anyway, let's play some Muse. This is a cracker. It's Uprising. was Muse and Uprising on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty, Benny and Stevie just about to wrap things up for episode 15. When the three of us get together, we talk for ages and it's a lot of fun. So I had a ball, boys. It's been good fun.
We're the fountain of truth.
Yeah. The fountain of truth.
The fountain of
an
life.
Island of reality in a sea of bullshit.
Oh, dearie me.
Next week on the show, who knows? Plenty of stuff. If you want to get a song on the show, you want to get a question in for us, hit up our Facebook page. You can do that. It's facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, or you can email us like Kelly did this week, uppercutpodcast@gmail.com.
So it's uppercut of the week time.
Yeah, nice.
I got tagged in a photo on Facebook the other day. It's a picture of me getting
getting
shamozzled.
That was just before you dropped after one of Overeem's steroid ring shots. That was about
5 millionths of a second before I got dropped. Yeah. I don't know which time it was. But yeah, there's a photo of me getting cracked by Overeem.
Yep.
And then there's a quote by Evander Holyfield.
It's an inspirational sporting poster is what it is, folks.
And
but
it's
yeah.
me getting hit in a kickboxing fight. And it's a quote by Evander Holyfield, who's a boxer.
Boxer. Well,
so whoever did that.
Do you know who did that? Ryan Lochte.
Well, Ryan Lochte, or whoever it was, eat this.
Give him another one. Give him another
this.
One.
Eat this. Get bent.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? Hey, man, at least you've become a motivational poster.
I made it. Yeah. For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, very, very nice. Folks, that's it for us. Make sure you, if you listen to this and you download it, share it around, put it out on Facebook. Let's spread the word of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And we need to say a big thank you to our wonderful sponsors indeed. Stevie, take it away. Who are they?
A big thank you to The Butcher Shop, located in Dixon and Kayleen, and also to Lang's Auto on Yass Road. Thanks very much to our wonderful
Yass
sponsors.
44 Yass Road. What a pro. Stevie's a natural.
You too. Pros.
He's nearly as good as me, man.
Pros.
Nearly as good as my back announcer.
Nearly as good as you.
And on that, we out of here.
See you, folks.
See you later.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed rhyme. And Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.